my grandpa, Harold Forrest Knaus, was born in the horse and buggy era, and he died during the space age. Eight years after Grandpa Knaus died, Aunt Violet called me and said,
"Well, we lost Grandma last night. She got up in the middle of the night, and she must have slipped, fell, and hurt her head. She put herself back to bed, and we found her there in the morning."
The attitude of the family at Grandma's funeral was one of great peace. We all knew at that very moment of her death, Viva Knaus was with Jesus. St. Paul said in his second letter to the Corinthians, 5:8,
"We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord."
Viva Knaus walked the Christian path all her life, and all her children followed her lead. Everyone that attended the meal after the service shared a positive comment about the love of the Lord, and they were happy she now was with him in heaven. Several years later, Violet's older sister, my Aunt Mabel, told me,
"I hate to think what my mother's memory would be of her last moments."
My vision of what happens when you die is one moment you're here, and the next moment you're in paradise. I envisioned that Grandma would have died with a smile on her face. I had no time to answer her before she continued,
"You know she was murdered, don't you?"
The only word I could pronounce was, "What?" Then Aunt Mabel told me,
"Well, the family did not tell you the truth that she died. We did not want you to get hurt any more than you already would be."
She finished her story by saying,
"We think that someone broke into her house looking for Grandpa Knaus's old hunting guns, and they misused her and beat her to death."
Then she really shocked me when she said,
"We know there were two of them, and they might have been a distant relative."
Knowing that I could have had more years with Grandma Knaus in my life, and someone took that away, made me bitter. But the reality that Grandma was now in paradise with the Lord was the sweet truth. That night when I said my prayers, I dumped all my bitter and vengeful thoughts in an imaginary basket at His feet and went to sleep. I raised two boys, one while being a single parent. The glass cup I passed on to them was for me to be a good role model to follow by always following the teachings of Jesus Christ. You can ask my boys today this question: what is the most important thing you can teach your children? They and all my grandchildren will answer the same thing:
teach them about Jesus.
I am not a preacher or a saint. I am the worst sinner I've ever known because I know my own sins and they are offensive to me. I gave both my sons a proud middle name that was used in the Knaus family for over 500 years. Like my father before me, Raymond Lee named me Ronald Lee, and I called my sons Ronald Lee Jr. and Ryan Lee. We were all named after the one who came before us, Peter Lee Knaus. I never had the opportunity of growing up with my stepsister. I fathered two man children, but my family was never blessed with a daughter. I enjoy that blessing today through my granddaughters. I wanted my granddaughters to know God's will for them in their lives. So I wrote the letter to the daughter I never had and gave my blessing to them using what I had learned in God's teaching. To all the young ladies today that call me Grandpa, I say this about your tomorrows. Here is a special present for the daughter I never had. With all my years' experience being a man, I present her this checklist on how to find God's match for her. I don't claim to be an expert in making relationships work, but I do know what makes a godly Christian man. Here is a checklist I would suggest she use to help find the Lord's match for her. The most important thing we can teach our children is about the Lord Jesus Christ. When a girl is looking for the one special man in her life, she is responsible for making the right choice. How is this done? Number one, take all matters to Him in prayer. Remember that He answers all prayers with one of three answers, yes, no, and wait. The third is the hardest answer and is given most often. He wants us to wait on His time schedule. Number two, do not yoke yourself with a non-believer. The man must have the Lord first in his heart and his daily walk. He must be knowledgeable about Scripture to know that he is the future Godhead in a new family. This is a tall order to fill. Number three, the man is responsible to God for the family's spiritual health, and it is dependent upon what kind of a person he is. But how can you tell if he has a personal relationship with Jesus? This takes time. This is the third answer to our prayers. Wait. Give him time to expose his true relationship with the Lord. Number four, where did you meet this person? More than likely, you will not find your perfect mate hanging out in any place that you would not feel comfortable having your parents with you. Better still, somewhere you would not want Jesus to find you or him when he calls you home to glory. Pray that the Lord will do the introduction to bring you together. Do not let Satan introduce you to from one of his hot spots. Satan loves to use peer pressure to steer you away from the Lord's will for you, so choose your friends wisely. Number five, Jesus spoke a lot about the tongue and how deadly and damaging it can be. What does this man talk about first and most? Would you feel uncomfortable if your mother heard all he tells you? When he talks about his business, does he have the you before the I? In other words, does he have a genuine concern about you today and in the future? Or does he continuously talk about the I, himself, most of the time?